Ladies and gentlemen, this is Killer Cross. Please do not notify the police. Your signal has been interrupted. You are now listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Tuck your chin, please, sir. Thank you.
Wow, what a fantastic gift.
I realize the title of your show, Rock and Wrestling Local 420, and I'm going to take that idea and go extreme.
Alrighty then, this is Phil Nershey of the String Cheese Incident coming to you from up in the Windy Mountain. I'm here joining Cosmic Chris on the Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
This is the big ugly J.D. Bishop, and if you're not listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420, you must be stupid.
Hey dear radio buddies, it's me, Max Volume. You are listening to Rock and Wrestling and Local 420 with Cosmic Chris.
Hey, this is Chad of the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling Podcast. When you're done listening to my show, head on over and listen to the Rock and Wrestling Local 420, and I guarantee you will not be disappointed.
Hey, folks, I got a name for you. One of the greatest podcasts in podcasts alive today. They don't call you a great podcast. They call you Rock and Wrestling in Local 420. Beat it if you can.
Hey folks, welcome to another exciting episode of Rock and Wrestling Local 420. This is episode 181. 181, I'll say it again, 181, wow. This has been a good week for me. You know, I've had, you know, a lot of bullshit been going down and stuff lately. Like, you know, we all have. But I got to see my first concert in over a year since this pandemic started. And oh my God, it was just so amazing. Last night, I went and saw Jackie Green at the Crystal Bay Club in North Lake Tahoe, in Crystal Bay. It's between Kings Beach and Incline Village. And it was just fucking amazing. It was socially distanced. I mean, there were probably, the place holds like, you know, like 800 or 900. You know what I mean? But there was probably like 100 people there. It was seated. Everyone was wearing masks. And you had to keep your mask on, except when you were drinking. But it was just so amazing to be back at a fucking concert, man. It was just so, it's like indescribable. I don't even know. I sound so stupid. Don't get me wrong. I'm just like, it's just been so long that it was like a whole new experience for me. And me and my buddies went up and, you know, we blazed up before we went in. Because with Jackie Green, it's like one long show. There's no set breaks like the Dead or Fish or Panic or anyone like that. And afterwards, we hung out in the casino for like 4 extra hours until like 2, almost 3 in the morning. And played craps. I'm a slot guy, so I tried playing slots and I ended up losing like $150. And if I had left there and lost that, I wouldn't have cared. I just recently got my tax return on top of the stimulus, so I'm not complaining financially right this second, you know. I just sat there for first time ever on a fucking table, dude. And my buddy just told me what to do. Do this, lose, win, lose, win, lose, win. And I ended up making my 150 back on top of another 100. And it was just like, wow. So my buddy goes, well, hey, dude, let's all go out to Mustang Ranch. The horrors are on me. And I'm not going to say no to free pussy. I'm a 46-year-old single male. So, you know, the other two guys, they were like, oh, no, I don't want to go, you know, and I'm like, fuck that, dude. And I ended up driving us out to my, because when we left North Lake Tahoe, we drove back to Reno, because it's only like 45 minute drive, if that. And we got back at the dude's place, and then we hopped in my car. We drove out to Mustang Ranch for a couple hours. It was interesting. I'll just leave it at that. It's only my second time I'd ever been to a whorehouse. But my first time being at the Mustang Ranch, which is the most famous whorehouse in all the world. You can't, I mean, Joe Conforti and Sally, his wife, did the history. They made a movie about it called The Love Ranch with Helen Mirren and Joe Pesci. And they actually filmed it out there and here in Reno. It was fucking cool. It's a great movie. But it was just such a great experience. It was like daylight by the time I got home at like 6:30 in the morning. And then I didn't have to go to work till 3 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon the next day. So I was like, fuck it, dude. I had some fun. I blew off some steam. And it was nice to see people dance again and have fun. And, you know, just not a care in the world, man. Just being able to blow off the steam, man. So we are slowly getting life back together. There is light at the end of this tunnel, you know, so don't worry. We're gonna get through this. I actually got finally figured out the vaccine thing here. I was trying to deal with CVS and stuff, and I've got proof from my work. I'm an essential worker, and I'm trying to, and they just, because they didn't have food delivery in the things are, well, you don't qualify. I'm like, yeah, I do. I got the proof right here. You know, like, screw you fucking people. And so I ended up just calling the health department. And they said, yeah, you actually, you know, anyone 16 and above now in Nevada, you can get shot. There's no, you know, anyone can do it now. I'm like, oh, so it didn't even matter. And so I made an appointment Saturday at 10:45 at the Livestock Event Center. Because that's, the health department is right next to there. So they're using the, you know, like they're doing with all the stadiums and arenas here, across the, you know, country. So, the health department happens to be right next to the Livestock Event Center. So they've got this maze of things. You make an appointment, and it's not like the testing last year where you just fucking lines for hours and you're getting testing. No, you actually make an appointment and you drive in, you go and you sit in your car and they give you the shot. So I'm going to go and try and get a selfie stick. Oh God, I did it again. I did this last week. I yawned in the middle of a fucking, oh my God, into my monologue. I record this way late on Sunday nights and Monday nights, so forgive me. Plowing ahead. I make my appointment, and so that's good. So really, all this week, I'm getting all my bills paid, I'm paying my rent, I'm paying all this, I'm looking for a new house. And it just feels good. It feels good to be normal again. And I don't know what's to come as far as the Gorge and Fish and the Dead and Iron Maiden and all these bands I want to see, because large scale stuff probably won't be back till early next year. But at least as far as the club level, stuff is starting to happen. And it's such an amazing feeling. You know, after being pent up for so long, to be able to go out and feel normal, you know, and nobody was bitching about masks. Everyone just wanted to see the concert, and the seats were 4 apiece, 6 feet apart, you know. So it definitely, like I said, it was social distance, but it was still cool, man. And Jackie Green, fucking dude, he rocked, man. He played Atlantic City by Springsteen. A bunch of his songs that I don't know, but played Scarlet Begonia. Opened the show with Bertha from the Grateful Dead. That was fucking cool. played a Dylan song that I can't remember what it was. He did a band song, and, you know, he did a few tunes, and, but yeah, man, it was such a good show. He had this guitar, it was him on acoustic, and this guy on a Telecaster, and it was just an amazing fucking show. So, all right, let's get into some music headlines real quick. We start off with an interview with Eddie Ojeda from Twisted Sister, and telling this guy on this podcast that he should have gotten some songwriting credits because everyone thinks that Dee Snider wrote everything. And when they were writing the songs, you know, Dee would write lyrics to his solos is the way he would do it. And so technically, you know, I mean, he, you know, because each band member writes songs and stuff like that, you know. But, you know, like I said, with some bands, they all four people get credits. With some other bands, it's like one guy writes all the songs, or a pair of them write the songs, and the other guys just do whatever. And I guess even Dee admits that Eddie Ojeda is the guy with him that wrote most of the stuff. Because even though it was a band before Dee joined him and it was J.J. French's band, they didn't really, they were like essentially a cover band by that point. And then Dee came in and that's when they started writing original music. So, yeah, it's just him talking about writing credits and stuff like that. Nothing special, but, you know, I thought it was interesting. Rat Steven Piercy was joined on one of his live streams by Bobby Blotzer. It wasn't a rat thing, but, you know, he came out on the live stream and they did some rat tunes. I mean, essentially, even Steven Piercy's solo stuff is 75% rat material. But, you know, and he's been vocal the last few months about, you know, he's done with rat. And if Rat is to do anything, be it play shows or record an album, he wants to do it with the five classic members. Now, granted, Robin Crosby's dead, so at least the four, the core four, with whoever else they get on guitar. Might be Carlos Carvoza from Quiet Riot, because he's been in Rat for the last 20 years. But the new band before they broke up again, didn't have Carlos Carvoza on it. So, I don't know. I mean, if they have Carlos, cool. If they don't, the core four is really all that matters. But who knows, man? Maybe we can finally get some new rap material, because I'd love to hear some new rap music from the band Rat. Apparently, Metallica didn't want to put, okay, you know, in Some Kind of Monster, they have, you know, after Jason Newsted leaves, Rob Trujillo comes in, and then they show the, we're offering you the $1 million contract, all that shit, right? Well, apparently, Metallica didn't want that in the movie. Okay, well, here's the thing. If they didn't want it in the movie, then they could have probably said, okay, don't put that in the movie, because they had probably control. Now, I haven't really delved into this interview, but most business, you know, maybe they said they were fighting with producers, and producers said, well, hey, this will be good for yada, yada, yada. So I don't know, but odds are they could have probably not put it in the movie. So they're just saying I think what this is saying is at the time they didn't want to do it, and they were probably talked into it or something like that. So I don't know, but it's definitely some sort of story. Dirty Honey drummer crashes mountain bike in an insane ride. And I guess he had a cam on, and I didn't watch the cam, but like, yeah, apparently he got in a really bad accident, but
Let's hope he's all right, because like I said, I mean, he might, even in the article, he might have just said, oh no, it was pretty bad, or he could be hurt right now. I don't know, because like I said, I'm not going to read too much into that article, but he was in a crash, apparently. KISS guitar player and founding member of Black and Blue, Tommy Thayer, earlier this year has, you know, announced that he's had a long lost daughter that's 31 years old. He was born in 1990. And she was born in 1990. And so now he's basically said, like, okay, shed more light into this situation. And it was when he was started doing stuff for KISS. I mean, Black and Blue kind of, they never really hit. So he'd been working with KISS for the last 30 years. Even before he became the guitar player, he was writing songs with them and guitar teching for Ace and Bruce Kulick and shit like that. So he just talks about how he'd been married a few times for a long time and never had any kids. And then all of a sudden now he's got a 31-year-old daughter, and how since last summer they've basically bonded. So that's kind of fucking cool. And, you know, I mean, if you can have a good relationship, I guess it had to do with 23andMe. So all these things, I guess his second cousin or some weird shit had been in contact with her, and they put him in contact with each other, and he found his daughter through 23andMe. So, yeah, that's a cool fucking story. You know, I mean, when families come together, it's always a cool story, especially in this time of pandemic. So Tony Iommi dismisses Rock is Dead talk, and he readies Tony Martin era Sabbath box set. That is fucking cool, because I loved the Tony Martin era of Black Sabbath. Headless Cross, to me, is one of the coolest fucking Sabbath albums ever. I mean, it was all over MTV. It was all over the radio. I was a huge Headless Cross fan. And I liked Tony Martin because he could do both Ozzy and Dio era stuff. And he made it sound good. So I was all about Tony Martin and Black Sabbath. And at that time, Tony Iommi was the only original member in the band. So it's not really Black Sabbath, but, you know, it is what it is. I look forward to hearing what comes out of the new Tony Martin box set. So Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets announces rescheduled UK dates for 2022 to take place in April of 2022. So I guess he's got his band he calls Saucer Full of Secrets, and I guess it's just a bunch of Pink Floyd shit. I mean, Pink Floyd's the only band he's ever been with, so of course he's going to play Pink Floyd shit, or he's going to write new music. So, yeah, I can see, you know. And he was always the one that has wanted Pink Floyd to get back together. So, I think that would be great for Pink. I think that would be the greatest reunion, would be Pink Floyd again. That would be great. Dave Grohl's favorite rock bar is launching the world's first online pub. Online pub. Okay, I don't really get that. I have a few ideas in my head, but I don't know. And I'm not going to read into it, so hold on. Let's see what's next. Okay, now here's a weird one. John Lennon wished Cheap Trick's Rick Nielsen, not Eric Clapton, had played guitar on Cold Turkey. That's fucking cool, because at the time, in the early 70s when he did that, I mean, Cheap Trick didn't really have their heyday until the late 70s, early 80s. So that's fucking cool that he even really knew who the fuck they were. So that's just wow, as far as I'm concerned. Next up, Journey members past and present resolve the legal dispute and reach amicable settlement. So I did read the article yesterday on this, and so Ross Valerie, Steve Smith have come to an agreement with Neil Sean and Jonathan Cain. Now, they aren't being let back in the band. I mean, they're still going to go on with American Idol's Randy Jackson and whoever that other drummer guy is. But they have said in an interview that there are no hard feelings. Everything is amicable. They don't hate each other anymore. So that's pretty cool. I mean, because that's the thing. Okay, Journey can put out a new album, and we still maybe have hope in the next year or so that maybe the classic lineup will get back together or something. You know, maybe real Journey with Greg Raleigh, Jonathan Cain, and fucking, you know, Steve Perry would be way cool, you know, with Ross Valerie, you know, and all that stuff, and Steve Smith or Ainsley Dunbar or whoever. I think that would be cool, like a super Journey album, even with Arnell, you know. I don't give a fuck. I think they should fucking tour. I think that'd be awesome, man. So, yeah, I just think it's awesome that they have put all the legal shit away and have settled whatever the fuck they had. Finally, ex-Misfits vocalist Mikael Graves is set to defend Proud Boys in insurrection court case. Now, I read this article, and I got to admit, it's fucking hilarious. Apparently, he's a member of the Proud Boys and a Trumper and all that, which is so weird because I guarantee you Jerry Only and Glenn Danziger are anything but Trumpers or into this QAnon bullshit. It's just funny. But he basically, now this is funny in two ways. It sucks that, you know, he's defending the Proud Boys, but he apparently is saying, okay, he was there to do a benefit for Latinos for Trump. And he was with one of the main Proud Boys that was there. And here's the thing. He makes them sound stupid. He's like, look, dude, the Proud Boys are anything but organized, dude. They couldn't have pulled this shit off. And he's basically saying they're a bunch of stumbling fucking idiots, which I think is fucking hilarious, you know? I mean, it sucks that he's even affiliated with Proud Boys, but the fact that he's downplaying their smarts is fucking just so fucking unreal. Because do they really, you know, want something like that defending them? You know, I mean, wouldn't you just at least, you know, like, oh, hey, make us sound stupid so we can get off? Because, I mean, you know, I don't know, dude. I just think it's so fucking funny. Because he's just like, dude, the Proud Boys couldn't have done this. They're a bunch of fucking bumbling idiots. How could you take solace in that defense if you were a Proud Boy? You know, I just think it's so fucking stupid. So it's fucking laughable as far as I'm concerned. All right, let's take a quick pause for the cause, and I will come back and we'll talk a little bit of wrestling.
Hey, this is Kevin Kleinrock from Masked Republic and the Keeping It 100 with Conan podcast, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Make sure you tune in every week.
Hey, it's Pat Kelly of the West Coast Wrestling Connection and the Golf Guys Radio Show, and you're listening to my buddy, Cosmic Chris, Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
Hi, this is Keith Coogan. You may remember me as Brad from Invention and Babysitting, or Kenny from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420 with Cosmic Chris.
Hey folks, let me tell you about DDP Yoga. At a time in my life not so long ago, I was suffering from Hep C as well as diabetes and well over 300 pounds. And a friend of mine sent me a YouTube video of this man, Arthur Borman. He was a paratrooper that had been told he would never walk again without the use of crutches. He gave DDP Yoga a try and is now one of DDP's leading success stories, as well as helping such people as Scott Hall, Chris Jericho, Gabriel Iglesias, Corey Taylor, Jake the Snake Roberts, Stevie Richards, and countless others. Diamond Dallas Page originally developed DDP Yoga for athletes such as himself who had suffered years of injury due to high-impact sports. when he ruptured his L4 and L5 spinal discs during the height of his professional wrestling career, he was so desperate to keep his childhood dream alive that he was willing to try anything. So he tried yoga for the first time. I know firsthand the benefits that DDP yoga has to offer. Because Dallas had experience in many forms of fitness, he quickly learned how different yoga was from other traditional workouts. Soon he started mixing elements of yoga with his rehab as well as traditional workout principles. For almost a decade, he has refined his program and has become a master at teaching it to others. DDP has saved my life. I encourage you to buy the discs as I have. Go to ddpyoga.com or you can download the DDP Yoga Now app. You can do it anywhere you want. He has cooking segments, live daily workout segments. I encourage you to check it out. Start living a healthier life. And hey, this ain't your mama's yoga.
So this is Greg Golden from the Greg Golden Band, Bizarre Guitar in Reno, Nevada, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Those guys rock.
Well, hey, we are back. So there's a few things I want to talk about before I get ready into the wrestling thing. I wanted to say over the past few weeks, we've had, you know, a few awesome guests, and there's going to be more. Right now, I am in talks with Ryan Stasek, the bass player for Umphrey's McGee. We haven't locked down a time, but we've texted each other, and you know, we know the hours. We just need to pick a day. So I'll be having him on the show here real soon, as well as a lot of you may not know, but I know. He was behind the scenes. He was basically the TV exec for West Coast Wrestling Connection and friend that I know from the Bob White Theater and a fellow music lover. But he was a TV exec for the West Coast Wrestling Connection in Portland, Oregon. And I think maybe even had something to do with Portland Wrestling Uncut. But that might not, I don't quote me on that one. But I do know he worked out the TV deal. And Robert Blagman, he's been a friend for a while, so he will be coming on the show in the next few weeks as well. And I have talked to a couple other people, but those are the ones that I'm pretty sure I will be having on the show here real soon. So look forward to more interviews coming your way. And yeah. So, as I get into the wrestling, there's a couple things that I saw online. And here's the thing. Today, I fucking, for the first time actually, waited 45 fucking minutes on hold to get to the WWE Network. I have never, in 7 years, since 2015, since they started the fucking thing, been on hold with WWE Network. I have called the number, whatever number I Google, and it's like, WWE Network, can I help you? And I was on hold for 45 fucking minutes, from 12:45 till 1:30 p.m. And finally, you know, it's like, I have found out, yes, they're not renewing my map, which for 7 years since the WWE Network started, I've been giving them their $9.99. And yes, I'm one of those fair weather ones. I don't care. I don't always watch it, but I like having it. I liked being able to go and watch Table for Three if I wanted to once in a while. I liked watching the old shit that I grew up on, WCW and all that shit, Monday Nitro. I would sit here with my nephew and just turn on Monday Nitro, especially after they added the Thursday Thunders, which were only like 3 or 4 months ago, you know, or within the last 6 months. And it's just, they are forcing you, if you live in America, you have to get Peacock in order to have the WWE Network. And I'll tell you, it's a really good deal, but it's the principle. You know, Peacock's only like $5, which is fine, but and if you come from the WWE Network, you can sign up for $250 a month. That is a killer deal. That's probably one of the better deals than fucking Hulu or the Disney or fucking any of those fucking Netflix or anything. But I am not going to just sign up for another fucking streaming site. I already saw all the new Punky Brewsters. I downloaded them off the internet. And, you know, and it was like, hey, you know, I am just not going to buy into this no matter how cheap it is now. Because I'm just like over that shit. I'm like, no, dude, now you're just forcing us to have shit. And yeah, you're finally offering it for a good deal, but it's the principle. I was happy with the WWE Network. I could go in and watch it whenever the fuck I wanted. And even if I didn't watch it for 3 months straight, I could watch something I wanted to watch. And my point to this whole thing is, you know, I'm not going to be able to watch the WWE Hall of Fame this year because I'm not going to fucking buy the fucking network. I'm not going to buy a Peacock, you know? And when, if you're outside the country, if you're in China, India, England, Australia, Africa, wherever the fuck you are, Saudi Arabia, you can still have the fucking network for $9.99. And not only that, even if you still did that, they have got, Peacock has gone and edited all the fucking shit. They took out Roddy Piper, half black, half white face, you know, when he was taken on, oh God, who the fuck was that? That he was, oh man, I just totally fucking spaced my mind, but I know who he fucking was fighting. I just can't remember right offhand who it was. But they fucking edited that shit out. They edited the fucking scene or the DX where they make fun of the Nation of Domination. And it wasn't about being racist. It was about being fucking funny. If you ask D'Lo Brown, you ask The Rock, you ask fucking Farouk, you ask any of them motherfuckers, DX, fucking Triple H, Sean Waltman, it wasn't about being racist, it was about being fucking funny. And 30 and 20 years ago, it was fucking funny, you know? And 30 years ago, the Roddy Piper thing was fucking funny, you know? If you look at why they were doing it, they were trying to be funny. And yeah, this isn't the same time as Al Jolson. But even back then, Al Jolson, I don't think, was trying to be racist. He's trying to be entertaining. Yeah, was kind of racist, but you got to understand how people were back then, and that's why I fight all the time. Like, I'm like, I don't give a fuck that it's fucking Dr. Seuss the company re-editing their old shit, and it's not really, you know, the Democrats or in cancel culture and all that. It's them, their own. It's all a part of this old, this shit, cancel culture. But it's not like some people are saying, because some people are like, dude, it's not fucking them, it's them, dude, it's the actual, I don't care. It just shouldn't happen. Gender neutral fucking potato head is about the stupidest fucking thing. The white polar bears for fucking Coca-Cola, you know, and oh God, what else? Aunt Jemima, you know, the Indian in Lando Lakes. You know, that's the thing, dude, with Land O'Lakes, dude, they fucking got rid of the Indian, but they kept the land. Everything's the same except the Indian, so the land is still there. Dude, fuck that, dude. They're racists. And I'm just, and I understand, you know, how you may look at stuff, well, all that stuff is, you know, bad part of history, and you may be right. But, you know, if we're not there to learn from our stupidity, then what the fuck, man? And I'm just so over all this shit. And Peacock has completely fucking ruined it. And, you know, I'm just, I don't care how good of a deal it is. I don't want it now. And I'll probably find a way to download the fucking Hall of Fame off the internet anyway. And what I was reading online is, I think, you know, I was bitching about they didn't really do anything for 2020. You know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at least had some sort of thing that I didn't watch, but I knew they had it.
But now they are doing 2020 and 2021 all in one night, I guess. The class of 2020 and the class of 2021. And that's why 2021 doesn't have a whole lot of people in it right now. It's got five people, six people at the most. And the, you know, before you had the NWO, you had fucking, oh God, a bunch of people. William Shatner last year, fucking like all these people, dude. Like 12 people. So they're saying they edited it down. They're going to edit the speeches and all this to make room for. So now I get to, you know, I don't get to see, but I don't know. I'll try and find a way. Because that's how I did. Like the 25th anniversary of Raw. Like I had it DVR'd for years, but I actually downloaded it. And that was cool. I still have it to this day. I can watch the 25th anniversary of Raw. It was a good show. But nonetheless, and as far as storyline, tonight as I've been watching Raw, there's been some good stuff. Matt Riddle and Ali and now Sheamus, that's kind of cool. I'm not going to give away all that happened, but there's been some good stuff. Shelton and Cedric the Entertainer talking shit to Lashley, and they kind of cornered MVP and kind of showed him how much of a bitch he was. And, you know, the girls all getting apart. I mean, Raw tonight, so far, I'm not finished with it, but it's fucking entertaining. The whole thing started with, oh God, I can't remember if it was it Lashley? I think it was Lashley talking shit. Or not Lashley, but Drew McIntyre talking shit and all that. And, they just got, it's been kind of nonstop action. You know, I got to admit, the Miz and Morrison took a buckets of latex paint and painted over. Bad Bunny's got this white car that's probably $100,000 sports car. And they go in with paintbrushes and finger paints and all that stuff and just paint pink all over the white car. Hey, hey, hop, hop. And so after the video last week of that, I'm kind of getting into this thing now because now I'm kind of going, okay, what's going to happen, you know? Because after they've kabonged each other, now they're fighting at WrestleMania, The Miz and fucking Bad Bunny. It's a full-on match now. So this guy has invested in these guys training him so he can try and get a fucking, you know. And Edge with the Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, that was on SmackDown. I just watched that, but you know, there is some stuff that's going down. Like I said, they talked more about the Randy Orton and the Alexa Bliss stuff. But I'm getting bored of that because it's just the same weird spooky shit. You know, but there was some good stuff, like I said, tonight. Right offhand, I can't really think of much more. Impact's apparently moving to Thursday nights. NXT is apparently moving to Tuesday nights, and I think AEW's staying where it's staying. And so you're going to have five nights of wrestling now. And the only real Wednesday night war that you'll have is AEW and Ring of Honor. And so now there really kind of is no Wednesday night war anymore, because now it's just each brand has got its own day. And you can watch whatever the fuck you want to watch if you're able to watch it. So, I mean, I don't know. I just, like I said, I think because it's the week before WrestleMania, that's why it was decent to halfway decent tonight. I definitely am enjoying the Hurt Business breaking up. I think that's just awesome. It's time for Shelton Benjamin and Cedric the Entertainer, not so much, but still, show some fucking backbone and say, dude, fuck you guys, dude. They wouldn't even be champion if it wasn't for us. So that I definitely dig. AEW, the only cool thing that happened in AEW, as far as I was concerned, was, dude, the fucking Inner Circle fucking came back and put the Hurt to the fucking pinnacle, and it was awesome. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And other than that, like I said, the only other thing that's interested me at all, and I'm not even really that interested,
is Kenny Omega just being a heel now and with the Good Brothers taking on fucking the Young Bucks. And with Don Callis, and they're talking shit back and forth. So, I mean, I definitely am enjoying that. You know, each show's kind of getting better, but, I mean, still nothing. You know, the consistency is the problem. The shows are pretty decent once in a while, but if you're going to grab the casual fan, you need every week to beat last week. Like Vince Russo says, man. It's common fucking, you know, sense. So, you know, that's my spiel about wrestling this week. Like I said, look forward to the next few weeks of having some new guests on. And we'll take another break and talk to you when I get back.
Hey, everyone, this is Joe V, formerly of Pro Wrestling Uncut and the West Coast Wrestling Connection. You're listening to Rock and Wrestling with my man, Cosmic Chris.
Yes, this is Jimmy.
Is this the record store?
This is the record store, yes.
Yeah, I want to hear that song.
What song?
Boom, 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 yeah, yeah.
Now, what song is that?
Hey, it's that song. You got it? I like that song. Yay!
I'm not sure I know what song you're talking about.
It goes boom, 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 ugh.
Boom, 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 ugh, yeah.
I want to buy the record.
You know the name of the artist?
Yay!
Yay.
Boop, 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 ugh. Yay!
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. I'm sorry.
It's a song. Yay!
Okay, I'm just not sure what that is.
It's a song. It goes boop, 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 ugh. Yay!
You hear it on the radio?
I can dance. Boop, 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 ugh.
Do you know, what kind of song is that? A rock song or a rap song or a country song?
Yeah, it goes boop, 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 ugh. Yay!
Boop, 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 ugh. But I'm not sure what kind of song it is.
Sing it with me, and then you'll know. Boop, 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 ugh. Yay!
Boop, 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 ugh. Yeah, okay.
No, no, no. Boop, 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 ugh. Yay!
Boop, 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 ugh. Yeah.
No, no.
No.
Boop, 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 ugh. Yay!
I'm just not sure what it is.
Hey, lady, lady, sing it with me. Boop, 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 ugh, yay.
Boop, 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 ooh, yay.
No. Boop, 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 ugh, yay. Get it right, lady. Go.
Boop, 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 ooh, yay.
No. Boop, 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 ugh, yay. You go, lady.
Boop, 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 ooh. Boop, 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 ooh, yeah.
No. Boop, 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 ugh, yay.
I'm just not sure what that is.
You go. You do it after me. Boop, 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 yay.
Boop, 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 ooh, ooh, yeah.
No. Lady, listen to me.
Lady?
Boop, 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 yay.
Boop, 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 ooh. Wait, say it one more time.
Boop, 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 yay.
Boop, 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 ooh, yeah.
No. Lady, listen.
Lady?
Boop, 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 yay.
I'm just not sure what that is. I'm awfully sorry.
Lady, if you repeat it after me,
lady,
then you'll know what song it is, okay?
Okay.
Do it now. You go.
Boop, 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 ooh, yeah.
Yay, that's it, yay.
Okay.
That's great. Now give me the record.
I don't know what it is.
Give me the record, Jimmy.
Well,
yay.
I just don't know what it is. I'm awfully sorry, but...
Okay. Well, you have a good day. Boop, boop, boop.
Okay. Well,
yay.
You have a good evening, too.
You do it one more time, lady. Do it one more time.
Boop, 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 ooh, yeah.
Yay.
Okay.
Yay.
Well, you have a good night.
Yay. Okay. That's great. Yay.
Now, this next piece of material is real simple. It's called free-floating hostility. 24 minor cultural items I'm bored with, tired of, and pissed at. So I hope you're ready for a little random anger. People who make quote marks in the air with their fingers. Are you tired of these people yet? He said he was sober. Hey, lady, eat me! Bada boom, bada bing. Next guy says to me, bada boom, bada bing, is getting kicked right in the fucking nuts. Bada boom, motherfucker! You wanna try bada bing? Bad hair day. Where did this shit come from? What a superficial culture. Put on a hat and go to work, you shallow cunt. Another crime against society. Hyphenated names. Hey, lady, pick a fucking name, would you please? Pick a fucking name. Hi, I'm Emily Jarricor Fortescue. Hi, I'm George Jerk Me Off. Fuck you, too. Another complaint. Too many vehicles. There are some families in this country own entirely too many vehicles. You see them on the highway in an RV. But that's not enough for them. RV's not enough. Behind them, they're towing a motorboat, go-kart, dune buggy, dirt bike, jet ski, snowmobile, parasail, hang glider, windsurfing equipment, a hot air balloon, and a small two-man deep-sea diving bell. Doesn't anyone just take a fucking walk anymore? The only thing these people lack is a lunar excursion module. Too many choices, America. It's not healthy. And haven't we gone a little overboard with these colored ribbons for different causes? Every cause has its own colored ribbon now. Red for AIDS, blue for child abuse, pink for breast cancer, green for the rainforest, purple for urban violence. I got a brown one. You know what it means? Eat shit, motherfucker! Eat shit, motherfucker! Getting pretty tired of these guys walking around in cowboy hats and cowboy boots. You ever see these jack-offs? Can't we kill some of these motherfuckers walking around in a fucking cowboy hat? Grown man. It's not even Halloween, for Christ's sakes. I say, hey, Tex, grow up and get yourself a wardrobe consistent with the century you're living in. And camcorders. Here is technology gone berserk. Everywhere you go now, there's some dick, some yo-yo, some putz with a camcorder, and he is going to tape everything. Doesn't anyone in this country just stop and look at things anymore? Sort of take them in? Maybe even remember them? Is that just a strange notion? Does experience have to be documented and brought home and saved on a shelf? And do people really watch this shit? Are people's lives so bankrupt they sit at home looking at things they already did? These guys are so intense, you know? It's always guys. They won't let women touch the cameras. It's a highly technical skill. Look through a hole, push on a button, big skill, and they all think they're Federico Fellini. Ever seen any of this shit? Low angles, zooms and pans, and it's the same ugly three children in every goddamn shot. All the George Lucas magic in Hollywood is not going to change the unfortunate genetic configuration on the faces of these children. Keep these unfortunate youngsters out of public view. Well, what about these guys who tell you, I heard that. Oh, you did you? Well, isn't this exciting? What is this, a fucking hearing test? Did I wander into a Beltone commercial here? Of course you heard it, you fucking Nimrod. I'm standing right next to you. I'm gonna move down here. I'm gonna move a little farther away. Blow me! By any chance, did you hear that? Now what about these people who tell you their needs aren't being met? You run into this stuff? This is support group shit, 12-steppers. My needs aren't being met. Know what I tell them? Drop some of your needs. Life is a zero-sum game. What else is troubling me? Mickey Mouse's birthday being announced on the television news as if it's an actual event. I don't give a shit. If I cared about Mickey Mouse's birthday, I'd have memorized it years ago. And I'd send him a card. Dear Mickey, happy birthday. Love, George. I don't do that. Why? Don't give a shit. Fuck Mickey Mouse. Fuck him in the asshole with a big rubber dick. Then break it off and beat him with the rest of it. I hope Mickey dies. I do. I hope he goddamn dies. I hope he gets a hold of some tainted cheese and dies lonely and forgotten behind the baseboard of a soiled bathroom in a poor neighborhood with his hand in Goofy's pants. Mickey Mouse. No wonder no one in the world takes our country seriously. We waste valuable television time informing our citizens of the age of an imaginary rodent. let me ask you this. The two pandas in the zoo, do you care if they fuck? I don't. Why don't they stop telling me on the news the pandas didn't fuck again this year? I'm not concerned. I have no emotional stake in panda fucking, all right? If they want to, they will. If not, they'll watch The Price is Right. Probably the only reason they're not doing it on time is because some jack-off from the environmental movement has moved into the cage with them. Could you get a hard-on if some guy in a green t-shirt with a stopwatch was taking your girlfriend's rectal temperature? Leave these creatures alone.
Hey, hope you enjoyed this week's show, episode 181, and we're getting that much closer to 200 episodes, man. That's fucking cool as far as I'm concerned. And it's not like my audience is like 10,000 people bigger than it used to be, but I've gained a lot of friends and I'm gaining listenership and subscribers more every day. And especially because of I Live the 80s podcast. So definitely show some love to Joe and Ed and tune into their show every Wednesday live on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube and all that, you know. If you're on Facebook, do the restream. YouTube, it's just YouTube. And I don't know nothing about Twitch, so I couldn't tell you. But, you know, they literally have been shouting me out every week, and so I'm going to shout them out every week. And, you know, just thank them for the support, because I'm, you know, following some of their followers, and their followers are in turn following me now. And so my subscribers are going up. I'm definitely enjoying that. So show some love to the I Live the 80s podcast. Tell them I sent you. And yeah, enjoy it. Let's see. Also, John and Chad from the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling with their podcast on Podomatic. You can check it out. It's same site as I am on podomatic.com, as well as the Realm Network on Vince Russo's The Brand. They have a podcast with the franchise Shane Douglas from ECW, WCW, and WWF, and called the Triple Threat Podcast. And basically, they sit down with Shane and talk shit for an hour, be about wrestling, politics, or whatever. It's a really good show. It's on Vince Russo's The Brand. And become a brand member. I'm a brand member. Ever since Vince Russo left Podcast One because of Ryan Satin and all that stupid shit, I was forced, if I wanted to listen to Vince Russo, joining Realm Network. Well, you know what? For $4 a month for the last 3 or 4 years, since he got off of Podcast One, I haven't regretted being a brand member. So I definitely encourage you to be brand members. You got Goldie's Closet. You have That's Life podcast. There are so many good shows on that network. So check that out. Let's see. Jeff Aiken from the West Coast Wrestling Connection. Show him some love with the Starship Leadership Academy and his podcast where he breaks down old episodes of Star Trek and movies, the cartoon, anything Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, etc., Next Generation, original cast. And it's a good 35, 45-minute podcast. And you know what? I'm digressing real quick because I got to mention Chad's other podcast, which is a lot like Jeff Aiken's, except what he does is he breaks down Raw episodes. So check that out. It's called Declassified on the Podomatic site. And you can check out that. Also, like I said, check out Jeff Aiken. They both just kind of basically declassify. They go over and break down old episodes of Raw and Star Trek. And they're both really good shows. And, you know, I want to also throw some love to my girl, Meow, Chef Nikki, and her podcast. I believe it's called the Mystic Meals Podcast, if I'm not mistaken. I've listened to a couple episodes. She's up to like 5 or 6 now, so I'm trying to actually keep going, because I listen to a lot of shows. You know, when you have your own show, you gotta, you know, listen to other shows too, but you also gotta, you know, you can't You know, you got to concentrate on your own as well. So, definitely show Chef Nikki love, meow. And let's see. Also, last but not least, my man, the Z-Man, the influencer, Brian Zane, with his show, Wrestling with Regret, all W's on YouTube. Check his show out, as well as checking me out on YouTube. And, you know, let Brian know I sent you, because Brian is another friend like Chad that has absolutely been helping me for the years, giving me advice. Even before I moved back to Reno, because he's from Portland, but he lives here in Reno. I knew him from Portland, and then I moved back to Reno, so we're friends here now, too. Even before I moved back here, we went to Archie's and just discussed, before I had the podcast, what I should name it, you know? Because there were things this isn't the only name. I also was going to name it Steal This Podcast, like Abby Hoffman, Steal This Book, Steal This Movie. But, I wasn't sure if there was another one called that, but I can't remember. But that's the other name that was kicking, you know? So if you want to find me on social media, just go to facebook.com/rockandwrestlinglocal420, as well as rockandwrestlinglocal420@gmail.com, where you can email me and send me some music to listen to. Send me ideas, send me people that, hey, you know, interview this guy or something. Here's his link. You know, I'm always looking forward to meeting new people. So whatever suggestions you've got. And let's see, as well as the Twitter, where I am punching Grogu. Follow me on the Twitter. If you want to... donate to the site, go to Podomatic.com, and I have a little PayPal icon where you can donate through PayPal if you want to help donate and give me an actual budget to work with. And as well as you can cash at me, the money symbol at Hippie Pimp, the money symbol Hippie Pimp, HIPPIPIMP, and you can cash at me, just put me in the subject, put podcast, etc., etc. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc., etc. If you want to go where I'm most socially active, go to Punching Baby Yoda on Instagram. You know, like I said, check me out on YouTube at Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Press the little bell, subscribe, all that jargon, as well as Punching Baby Yoda on Instagram, where I am absolutely most active. See you guys next week, folks.